Saraji explained yesterday that if one does not practice four kinds of Satipatthana meditation, then one is deviated away from the Eightfold Noble Path. By practicing four foundations of mindfulness, one is practicing Majjhima Paripada, the middle path, and also the Eightfold Noble Path is automatically practiced. So in the field of practice, Majjhima Paripada, the Eightfold Noble Path, is included in Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the 37 requisites of enlightenment. So these Eightfold Noble Paths are included in 37 requisites of enlightenment. By fulfilling the Eightfold Noble Path, one is also practicing four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana, and also Sammapadana, four kinds of supreme efforts. And Adipada, four kinds of Adipada, four means of accomplishment, and also five kinds of Indriya, five kinds of controlling faculties, five kinds of Bala, five kinds of mental power, and seven kinds of Bhujanga, seven factors of enlightenment. So Eightfold Noble Path, it is the chief or main among the 37 requisites of enlightenment. By fulfilling the Eightfold Noble Path, the other Bodhipakkhiya, the other requisites of enlightenment, are also involved and they are also fulfilled. And Saraji will later on explain from both theory and practice. The late Venerable Mahasi Saraji has written a motto saying that by practicing Satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness, one is also said to be developing other requisites of enlightenment. So by practicing the four foundations of mindfulness, one can also accomplish the 37 requisites of enlightenment. So the main thing is one should practice Satipatthana meditation. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will understand what it is, how it is, and why it is. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one understands cause and effect, and one will gradually understand through practice the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. One comes to understand the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self, not from listening and also not from learning from teachers, but that it is one's true knowledge through practice, knowing correctly, completely, distinctly, outstandingly. And it is very outstanding. It excels, it surpasses than the theoretical knowledge. And Buddha used the word sambhajanya, clear comprehension, Or another way, knowing by oneself correctly, completely, distinctly, outstandingly. In order to gain sambhajanya, one should be mindful, one should have sati. By being mindful, one can develop knowledge. So the main point of the Buddha's teaching is to be mindful. By being mindful, one will have clear comprehension, knowing correctly, completely, distinctly, outstandingly. And Saraji will continue to explain from both theory and practice, saying this is the theory, this is the practice, combining theory and practice, how the benefits will be gained. In Patisambhida Magga, there is a saying that is noteworthy for yogis who are practicing Satipatthana meditation. It says that Satiya Patekanando Jinati Papage Akusale Dhamme, meaning that if one is mindful, if one can know the object, if one can take hold of the object with mindfulness, one can have victory on the unwholesome mental states that are inferior and degrading. Sati is the mindfulness, sustained mindfulness, which sticks onto the object. Being able to note the object without missing, without failing. So one should take hold of the object with mindfulness continuously, so that mindfulness will be sustained. By having sustained mindfulness on every arising object continuously, without failing, without missing, then one is said to have victory. Jinati means having victory. Abhibhavati means gaining the upper hand. Akusale Dhamme is the unwholesome deeds that are blameworthy, that produces bad consequences and the results. So these unwholesomeness are condemned as papage. Papage meaning that it is degrading and inferior. To which extent this papage dhamme, papage asuk akusale dhamme, inferior unwholesomeness can degrade? If one lacks mindfulness, lack of mindfulness, one does not have the chance to develop wholesomeness. By lack of mindfulness, one will be developing unwholesomeness. There will be akusala, unwholesomeness, which has loba, greed as chief. Unwholesomeness, akusala, which has dosa, aversion as chief, can arise. And having this unwholesome mind, one also commits bad action by body, speech, and mind. These misconduct by body, speech, and mind, they are akusala dhamma, they are unwholesome deeds. The one who has these unwholesome deeds will be degraded, so that the person will be inferior. That's why these unwholesome deeds are called babaka, because they degrade the person so that the person becomes morally degraded and inferior. When one commits evil conducts, dutarita, it means that one has ayoniso manasikara, unwise attention. Having ayoniso manasikara, having unwise attention, one will have bad volition, wanting to kill others, and so on. So the bad jetana, bad volition, conducts the mind, incites the mind to perform bad action by body, speech, and mind. So this jetana, volition, conducts the mind to unwholesomeness and also evil conduct. Jetana is inciting the person to perform evil conduct, such as killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and also verbal misconduct, such as lying, slandering, harsh speech, frivolous talk, and so on. And bad jetana, bad volition, can also lead the person to wrongful mental misconduct, such as wanting to take other people's belongings by force, wanting to kill, torment others, and also to wrong view, not knowing that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results. And having this mano dutarita, one also have wrong view that there is nothing at the end of the life, at the end of one's life, there is nothing more. Entertaining this annihilation belief, it is also one of the wrongful mental misconduct. So, having these bad volition, one commits misconduct, even conducts, evil conducts by body, speech, and mind. They are called akusala, because they are opposite of kusala. And when one commits this unwholesomeness due to bad jetana, due to bad volition, one will gain unwholesome results. One will also gain anitta vipaka, undesirable results. And such unwholesome deeds do not uplift the person, but these unwholesome deeds pulls down the person, the force pulling down the person is so great that the person becomes morally degraded and inferior. So the gravity of these unwholesomeness are so great, and the person becomes inferior. In order to overcome these inferior unwholesomeness, one should have a possession, mindfulness. One should make use of one's mindfulness. One should have mindfulness as one's possession in order to have victory on these kilesa defilements. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will also develop the Eightfold Noble Path, and one will also develop the other kinds of the requisites of enlightenment, and one will gain victory on these kilesa defilements. Having victory on these kilesa defilements, one will no longer have to indulge in these defilements. When one has attained at least the first path knowledge, one can totally eradicate defilements that are relating to abaya. When one gets to this stage, it can be said that it is worthy of becoming a human being. It is worthy of coming across the Buddha Sasana, the teaching of the Buddha, as a human being. Having gained at least the first path of knowledge, one is totally free from abaya dukkha, the suffering of lower existences, and one also is free from part of samsara dukkha, part of suffering of further existences. So that's why it is said that in order to have victory on these defilements, one should practice Satipatthana meditation. Having siddhi, mindfulness, one can gain victory on these defilements. So in Patisamvida Magga, it is said that Satiya Patikananto Jinati Pabake Akusale Dhamme, meaning that having mindfulness, one can gain victory on inferior, unwholesome deeds. And yogis should rejoice that they are having the opportunity to practice Satipatthana meditation. They are having this opportunity to practice Satipatthana meditation and have mindfulness, the mindfulness that can have victory on these inferior, unwholesome deeds. When it is said that by having mindfulness, one can have victory on all the defilements. So let's analyze one's practice. When one is doing sitting meditation, yogi is noting rising and falling of the abdomen as well as other objects that arise. One is mindful on the object so that the mindfulness covers, spreads onto the whole rising and falling of the abdomen. One is noting, one is having sustained mindfulness in rising, falling, as well as other objects such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and so on. So in this way, having continuous mindfulness on every arising object, defilements will have no chance to arise. If one is not mindful, if one does not observe the object, kilesa defilements can enter the mind. By being mindful, by observing the object, by being mindful, one's mind is away from kilesa defilements. When there is sustained mindfulness, can there be greed in the mind? So when there is mindfulness, the mind cannot have greed, but the mind will be pure and clean. At the moment the person is being mindful on the object, there is no wish to see good things, to hear good sounds, to smell good fragrance, to taste good flavor, and so on. So in this way, The mind is free from greed at the moment one is being mindful. And also, other defilements such as anger, aversion, dissatisfaction cannot arise. When there is sustained mindfulness on rising of the abdomen, which manifests as stiffness, tension, movement, and falling of the abdomen, such as relaxation, movement, and so on, one is said to be discerning nama dukkha saccha. One is said to be discerning rupa dukkha saccha, the materiality which is included in the truth of suffering. So when one is discerning this truth of suffering, there will not be doubt or uncertainty as one is knowing correctly. Knowing correctly, one will be free from not knowing or knowing wrongly. In this way, avijja, ignorance, is removed. And other defilements also cannot arise at the moment the person is being mindful. As the person is being mindful, one will not be indulging in the defilements such as lobha, dosa, moha, and thus one will not be committing dukkha, evil conduct. And also, there will not be wrongful thoughts such as wanting to take other people's belonging by force. There will not be envy or jealousy. Based on Kamaskata Samadhiti, based on the knowledge that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results, one will not have wrongful thoughts. One does not have the wrong view that there is nothing after death. In this way, by being mindful, one will be removing gross, medium, and refined form of defilements. Removing these defilements, one will not be developing unwholesomeness. Instead, there will be wholesome mind arising continuously. So by being mindful on presently arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, there will be mindfulness, and the defilements that can arise due to lack of mindfulness will not arise. If there is lack of mindfulness, one is losing to kilesa defilements. By being mindful, one is having victory on these defilements. The more the person is mindful, the more victory the person gains to these defilements. So when does a person need mindfulness? It is said that mindfulness is essential in every instance, in every aspect. It is said that satin cha kwa han bhikkhave sabbatika vadami. It means that sustained mindfulness is needed in every instance, in every way, in every circumstances. One should be practicing Satipatthana meditation continuously. So one should be practicing continuously apart from sleeping hours. Every activity should be observed. Every activity should be done slowly, mindfully. So whenever there is rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, turning, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, even opening and closing of the eyes, Even slight movements such as blinking of the eyes should be done mindfully so that there will be sustained mindfulness and mindfulness will be continuous. Sati, mindfulness, is needed in every way, every instance, every aspect, every circumstances. So one should be mindful on presently arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, with sustained mindfulness. Being mindful on every arising object, one is said to be practicing the teaching of the Buddha. By being mindful, one also develops knowledge. By being mindful on rising of the abdomen, one comes to know the stiffness, tension, movement, warmth, heat, cold, and so on. As one is being mindful on the rising of the abdomen, one also understands that rising of the abdomen is the object, and the noting mind that knows the object. So one understands distinctly between the two. The object that has been noted, it is the cause. Because there is the object to be noted, the noting mind arises, and the noting mind is the effect. By noting rising, falling, one also comes to know that rising, falling, old rising, dissolving, new rising, arising. And in this way, the old giving rise to new. By being mindful, one develops knowledge. It is called sambhajana. Sambhajana means clear comprehension. In the word sambhajana, san and jana means knowing by oneself. San here can also mean knowing correctly. It is not knowledge gained through imagination, but it is gained through one's practice. And as one is being mindful on rising, falling, one comes to know in the way they really are. One must know the object so that the mindfulness should cover the whole object. And thus, the person knows it, not partially, but completely. And bhajana means knowing in various ways. By being mindful on every arising object, one also comes to know the nature of hardness, softness, roughness, gentleness, flowing, fluidity, cohesion, heat, warmth, cold, lightness, heaviness, stiffness, tension, and so on. So one comes to know these characteristics of this materiality. Bhajana means knowing in various ways. And it is not knowing through theory or what one learns from the teacher, but it is something one learns from one's true experience. One also comes to know outstandingly, distinctly. So that's why sambhajana means knowing the object by oneself outstandingly, distinctly, correctly. And Buddha used the word which is very concise, but it has many meanings. So in order to know it, one should be mindful continuously so that there will be sambhajanya. So Saraji hopes that the yogis understand. In order to have sambhajanya, sati, mindfulness, should not be of poor quality, and it should not be of medium quality. But sati, mindfulness, should be of good quality. Only when the sati, mindfulness, is of good quality, then one can have sampajanya. So Sayadawji says, ordinary mindfulness here is not enough. Sati has this characteristics of apilapana lekhana, meaning that sati has the characteristics of not wobbling, not floating. Sati should not be superficial. There is an example. If a cork is thrown into the water, the cork floats on the surface. And when you throw a plastic bottle, the plastic bottle floats on the surface. But when you throw a stone into the water, the stone sinks in water. In the same way, mindfulness sinks into the object, and the mind sinks or pierces into the object. So one should be noting in a way that the mind sinks into the object, pierces into the object. One should not be noting superficially just on the surface, but the noting mind should sink into the object, pierce into the object. Just as the stone thrown into the water sinks in the water, in the same way, whatever object that arises, the noting mind should sink into the object, pierce into the object. So whatever the object arises, the mindfulness should stick into the object, the mind should be sinking into the object of meditation. When one has the kind of mindfulness, as the mindfulness sinks into the object, it can be taken as good quality mindfulness. And the function of sati is asamosa rasa. Samosa means losing, forgetting, losing sight of, failing, negligent. Asamosa is the opposite of losing, forgetting, failing, negligent. Whatever the object arises, when the objects are arising continuously, mindfulness should also follow continuously so that there will be asamosa rasa, function of not losing sight of the object. One should not lose mindfulness, and also one should not lose sight of the object. If one loses, then there will be pamada, failure, or negligence. In order to be able to note the object with sustained mindfulness, one should not fail, one should not be negligent, one should not lose sight of the object. One should always be in view of the object, so that there will be sustained mindfulness. So one should not fail, one should not be negligent to note the object, but one should always be mindful. Whatever the object arises continuously, mindfulness should follow continuously so that the mindfulness will stick onto the object. There will be no gap between the mindfulness and the object. And also, The manifestation of sati is visya bimukhi bhava pachupatthana. Another one is arakha pachupatthana. In order to be able to note the object, the noting mind should be abhimukha, direct or face to face with the object. When rising occurs, the noting mind should be direct or face to face with the object. When falling of the abdomen occurs, one's noting mind should be direct or face to face with the object. And visaya here means, visaya means object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen. One should note in such a way so that the noting mind should be direct or face to face with the object. Visaya bimukhi bhava pachupatthana, meaning that sati has the manifestation of being direct or face to face with the object. And thus, the noting mind will sink into the object. Whatever the object arises, one can note without failing, without missing. When there is mindfulness, the mind is guarded, protected away from the defilements. And it is said, arakha pachupatthana, meaning sati has the manifestation of guarding, protecting the mind away from the defilements. When sati, mindfulness, guards and protects the mind away from the defilements, the mind is safe and secure away from the agitation of these defilements. When the mind is safe and secure away from the defilements, there will be freedom, and thus the mind will be peaceful away from this agitation of this defilement. Being peaceful, one also gains the Dhamma happiness, which excels so many times than the worldly happiness. So here, arakha pachupatthana, meaning that sati has the manifestation of guarding, protecting the mind away from the defilements. In order that the mindfulness should be of good quality, one needs tirasanya, firm perception. So in one's body, there are objects arising, good and bad. Whatever the object is, whether good or bad, one should be noting, recording, so that there will be strong mindfulness. And this tirasanya, firm perception, is the proximate cause for the good quality of mindfulness to arise. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.